Look, there's been an awful lot of talk the last few years about housing and the lack thereof, and we're not doing it quickly enough. And I know there's a big dull row going on about who knew what when, about the number of houses that were going to be built before the election and all of that. But the truth is, of course, we are not building nearly enough of them, not by a long mile. And now we have been shamed by no less an august body than the OECD, whose report reveals that Ireland is lagging behind pretty much everybody else in providing housing, both for rental and for purchase for our citizens. Well, look, here to talk about some of the issues involved in this is Paul Mitchell. He's a director with Mitchell McDermott, who did a construction sector report recently, which had some very, very interesting stuff in it. You're very welcome to studio.
Thank you, Sinead. Good to be here.
Now, look, I don't know where to start with this, but let's start with what we now know. Mm-hmm. We did not build 40,000 houses mm-hmm. last year.
Correct.
We didn't build nearly 40,000 houses. And rather than getting into the who, what, wherefores about who knew that and who didn't know that, like, even if we had, it looks like it's not even going to be half enough of what we need.
Correct.
What are the issues, as you see it, from preventing us doing what it seems other countries do, not easily, but, you know, simply?
I think the first thing is that a lot of countries are struggling with exactly the same issues. The UK, Germany, big countries that have a lot of power behind them are not meeting their own housing targets. I think that over the last couple of years, we've had a number of things come into play, like COVID, like Ukraine, like inflation. So we had a lot of construction.
Everybody's had that.
And then one of the bigger things that happened this year or in 2024 was that our apartments figures were down. Okay, so apartments make up about a quarter of the market. So there's a lot of talk at the moment about apartments and rent control and so on. It makes up a quarter of the market. But the number and the completions were down 24%. Mm. Okay. Now, to those in the industry, that was not a surprise. Okay. Because
it was a shock to the government.
It was, and it maybe shouldn't have been, because we already had three quarters worth of data knowing what the output was going to be pre-election.
Why are apartments, and there seems to me to be a shift towards people, moving people towards apartment living rather than three-bed semis. And that's what every other major city in Europe does, you know, whether it's to rent or to buy. What is the particular difficulty with apartments in Ireland?
Mm. So if you take housing, right, so you go into your three-bed, four-bed semi-D, right, a developer can go in there to a scheme of 30 or 40 units. He can build 10 or she can build 10. Sell them. They're easier to fund. They're cheaper to build. They're not as complicated. We have a plethora of small and medium-sized enterprises that are building these. When you get to apartments, right, apartments are more expensive, right? People don't have the money to buy apartments, so it's different to when the boom was happening, when you could get your mortgage and you could pay $600,000 or $700,000 for a two-bed apartment. You can't get that now. So the build-to-sell part of it has fallen away, only in kind of very affluent areas where people are trading down from big houses. So what happened was back in 2018, 2019, international funds came in and they started funding these very expensive blocks for rental.
Hmm.
And the numbers shot up. They were doubling year on year, which was fantastic. And then what happened was there was a shift to say, well, actually, these people are making too much money and let's start to kind of increase the regulatory environment here. So let's cap the rents to 4%. And that seems, you know, just intuitively a good thing to do.
Mm.
Right? And then they said, OK, well, we're not happy about that. Let's reduce it to 2.2. And then a few months later, it was to 2%. But what has been proven in other countries is when you cap rents and you say to this fund, who's putting in teachers and Garda's pension money from other countries, they want a safe home where they can invest the money over 30 or 40 years. You do that, you say, well, your costs are going to go up with energy crisis and different things that happen.
2% isn't going to cut it.
But your revenue is capped forever and a day. Okay? So they go, well, that doesn't make an awful lot of sense because interest rates go up and maintenance costs go up and I have to maintain this building. So they then looked at Ireland, and then they were called vulture funds and cuckoo funds and all the rest. And they kind of went, well, actually, do you know what? And interest rates went up and construction costs went up. So it's not all one thing. Mm. But the result from that, and this news is kind of 2 years old at this stage, is that they left Ireland. OK, now, at that stage, the government were aware of that and the government did step in. So the Land Development Agency stepped in with all of these different initiatives. And if they didn't, we would have less completions. So there is some positive news here. The news would have been worse if they had not stepped in.
And to go back to your previous point, the reason that it was seen and that it was clear that we needed these massive funds with deep pockets is because you can't build two stories of an 18-story block and sell them. Right. You have to have the whole thing financed up front or there's no point.
Yes.
And that's why apartments, by their very nature, take longer and are more expensive than estate houses.
On average, it takes 6 months to build a house, right? For an apartment block, it's anything from 18 months to 3 years, depending on the size of the apartment scheme. And you actually cannot just, you can't even start construction unless you know that you can get out the other end. And by that, I mean that you have buyers. And by that, it means that there's a big commercial buyer.
Yeah.
Right.
And like it or not, you're going to need to make a profit on that. OK, so that's one issue. And then the financing that goes with that. Now, you mentioned the Land Development Agency there. The former head of that, John Moran, is now the mayor of Limerick. And I follow this stuff, and yet it seems to me it has, you know, fizzled away. What is it doing, and is it doing enough?
I'm very supportive of the LDA. It came in at the end of 2018. It took a while to be enacted and get funded and all that kind of thing. But it takes a long time to get the momentum and get the flywheel turning.
But why does it, Paul? I mean, this is what annoys the hell out of people and listeners.
Yeah.
Why does it take so long? I mean, you're looking at the best part of 2 years from planning to a sod turned, and maybe another 2 years before that to get to the planning being agreed.
Yes.
I mean, what if you were given a magic wand? Would we do better and faster so that it doesn't take quite as long as it has?
So you know that we've had a torturous route on planning, right?
Yeah.
On board Planola, governance, all that kind of thing. But even today with our fast track, our new fast track route, it takes...
These are the special developments and the...
Yeah, yeah. And it's
supposed to bypass all the red tape or most of it.
Yeah, but we kind of did that with this first fast track route, and then people said no. We don't like this, and we've got into this whole legal aspect of judicial reviews.
What people? Oh, you mean NIMBYs?
I mean the people said that what they said was that it was not democratic. I don't have the same right to appeal and lodge an objection. So what happened then, which was new, was that in 2019, over 50% of the apartment developments went into judicial review, which means they went to court. So forever and a day, we thought on board Planola was the power in the land, right? And once they gave a decision, that's it. But what happened then was that actually we can go to court and say they did their job wrong on the most minute thing.
Yeah.
And then on board Planola go, well, I'll just throw that out. I'll quash that.
How do you change that, though, meaningfully, Paul? I mean, you know, are you going to mention the word referendum now? Because that'll kind of freak everybody out.
So what they've already done is the government have spent, and I'm not here to read this, just dealing with the facts. The Planning Act, which was 2 years in the making, was enacted in October last year. It is going to take the next 12 to 18 months to implement the parts of that act. And after that is done, then people go and say, OK, now I need a local area plan or an urban development zone. And that will take 1 to 2 years. And then I can go and submit a planning application only if my land is zoned. Right? So this is...
Is there an argument for taking the whole thing out of the purview of councils? And I say that because in another area of development, which is the derelict sites, which everybody's sick to the back teeth of looking at up and down streets and towns in this country, the Irish Times did a big expose last week, which more or less said, look, here are known sites, here they all are, here's the list. In almost all the cases that I read, it was that the council had refused something to be done with that site. Now, maybe there was a very good reason, and maybe they were looking for things that they shouldn't have had. Should we have a centralised, you know, department of infrastructure that just can not ride roughshod, but filled with experts who can just say, let's just do it anyway.
Yes. Right. And that was one of the recommendations. So I spent 2 years working in one of the working groups in the Housing Commission. And one of their recommendations, and not a lot of them were read, but they are being read now, was something called a housing oversight executive. And that they would have the power, and they would be filled of technical people, right? So that they would have
the power. As opposed to politicians.
Yes.
Okay.
We've politicised housing, right? And the only people that are suffering are our children, the next generation, people trying to rent, the 69% of 25-year-olds living under mum and dad's feet, right? So there's a few things that we can do now.
Right? Okay, and right. Let's be positive. Give it to us, Paul.
Focus on things that are there, right? So we know there's a lack of zoned land out there, right?
And there's not a lack of land, though.
No, a lack of okay, zoned and service land.
I have to say that quickly.
So it's too early. But one of the things that we do, we dezoned all this land. So we have too much land zoned. So we're going to dezone it, right? But we were working off outdated numbers, 2016 census, right? Mm. Now we're working off the 22 census. And for everyone out there, we are in 2025, okay? Mm. Let's just switch those reserves lands back on, okay?
There was a use it or lose it thing, though, because they thought people were hoarding land. Okay.
Look, there's lots of, that's okay. A whole other okay. debate on tax
right.
and land.
So you rezone it.
You turn those back okay. on tomorrow. Right. Right. So a lot of the things that we need to do today, not set up a review group, not have someone look at the Housing Commission report, right? All that needs to be done. We need to take that action. So let's say we switch that land back on. The next big issue that we have coming down the track is that we're faced every day on sites is ESB and Irish Water, right? We don't have enough what we call serviced sites.
Yeah.
So we can have a land, it can be zoned, and you might have planning. We have plenty of clients.
And you have a developer waiting to go.
Who is paying a fund or a bank are hanging on by their fingernails, right? And then by the time we get to that, they may have to go to planning again, right? Mm. Because they're planning. Second thing we can do is for the planning that have been so-called withered, right, or coming to the end of their time, you can't renew them. You have to go back and run that gauntlet again. Don't allow that. Allow automatic renewal of planning.
Okay.
Now, immediately, we've got this big resurgence of stuff because our planning is also
You've saved yourself 18 months just doing that.
Yeah, we've saved all ourselves money.
What's the reluctance then, do you think, Paul, to do
that? Because we've put all these rules in place, right? We're going back to 30 years ago and we talk about the parties and the closeness and the developers and all of this kind of stuff. And we've swung completely the other way. And now we've tied ourselves up in regulations, in red tape.
Gone too much the other way.
The pendulum has swung, right? So what we need now is political confidence to just say, I'm going to do this. Let's get ahead. Let's get a housing czar, wasn't that called for?
Yes. Who would you pick?
You'd pick someone that has been in the industry, private sector, right? Has seen it in action. Because there are too many people at these microphones, and forgive me, talking about housing that have never seen any development. Right? They are either coming from, you know, an education background or a political background. We need people that actually know how this is done.
Don't go down the Michael O'Leary route, whatever you do. We'll get into trouble. The teacher shouldn't be managing housing policy.
We need someone.
All right. OK, Paul, listen, really good points there. Look, you've given some positive suggestions there, which, you know, one can only hope will be taken up, because I think, okay, yes, government can argue, look, we have a mandate, we were put back into government, we must have been doing something right, but I think we're all agreed, and even they are agreed, not in this area. So maybe they will take that on board. I can't think there's anybody out there who wants less housing. Maybe people don't want it beside them, but certainly they know that we need it. All right. Listen, it was a very interesting report, really well researched, and it's good to have a kind of a balanced view. We've had enough politicians in the studio giving us, you know, one side or the other.
Yeah.
So it's good to have that view. All right. Paul Mitchell, Director of Mitchell MacDermott. Thanks a million for joining us on The Home Show.
Thank you, Sinead.